Hello! In this week's episode of Less Code, More Power, we've got the ultimate multi-hyphenate, Louise Fries, talking about the ultimate multi-hyphenate of products coming together to make magic happen. Stay tuned. Hello! Welcome back to Less Code, More Power. Since we did so well with our previous guest, we decided that it's time to just have remote guests until further notice. What do you think about that, co-host Sarah?
So, co-host Donna, I think that is amazing. So I think, you know, so you saw some of our previous episodes, and yeah, we're just going to go for it. And we have got the amazing Louise Fries on the show today. So for those of you who don't know Louise, all of her details are going to be in the description and the show notes. But Louise is a consultant. She is an amazing artist, and she has just so many skills up her sleeve. It's just great to have someone so talented on the show that will be able to share with you her journey into consultancy and really, you know, how she thinks and really, you know, how all the pieces come together for her. So tell us all about you.
Okay, all about me. So my name is Louise. I'm from Germany, currently living in Belgium. I'm a Microsoft 365 consultant. My mission is making people's work work. So I just take away all that bullshit that makes people avoiding really adding value in a meaningful way to their companies and just keeps them busy with being busy. So I care a lot of strategy and processes and collaboration. So I use good tools to make people's work work.
That's awesome. Where are you located today, Louise?
I'm currently broadcasting from Belgium.
Awesome. That's amazing. So I mean, I've got so many questions, but like, I love your mission statement. I think that's amazing. You just kind of went straight in there with that. So tell us, how did you get to that point? Like what made you come to that mission?
I realized that people are so often busy with just being busy. So they have awkward processes and they stick to an old working behavior and in a mindset, which is we've always done it like this before, like for ages. And if you throw just tech solutions on those problems, you won't solve anything. So I thought, what about going to the cause and not only to the effect of that, really solve the problem by its root? So, and therefore I came up with that.
I love that line. You just make your work work.
Yep.
Right? You just work, work better. And that's such an important thing. And I love that about the Power Platform community all up and the whole less code, more power life, which is do what it takes to do your job better. It doesn't actually matter if it's, you know, assembly language programming, which I would always pull out and everyone says you don't need that, or you're creating a flow to automate a simple process. It just depends on what you specifically need to solve a specific problem. So yep. I think that's fantastic. So Louise has a secret talent that, I mean, it's not a secret even a little bit, but it's a talent that I am so excited that she's here to show off because it's a talent I wish I had and don't have. She is one of the best sketchnoters I have ever seen in my entire life. So, Louise, can you tell us about how you even got into this field, how you started drawing, how you started sketchnoting, and how you use it in your business?
How I started by accident. So I never drew in my life because I had a very mean teacher in art who told me, Louise, you don't have any talent at all. So please don't even try to do that. And I stopped drawing when I was 6 or 7 years old. So I didn't draw. But in preparation of a conference where I thought, okay, I just need a better technique to take my notes because after 3 days, I will be brainwashed and brain dead. To no end, I set up a little visual vocabulary and I improved my handwriting. And then I just took notes for myself. And the guy that sat next to me at this conference said, hey, would you like to share this on Twitter? And I said, yes, shall I send you a direct message? And he said, no, share it on Twitter and text the speaker. And then I tagged them home. And the rest is history of that. So I don't believe in having a talent. I believe in practicing because this I don't have any talent at all. This was just a perfect self-excuse for me not to practice. And taking responsibilities for your own skills is very, very mandatory in this workplace. So if I say I can't code, yeah, how many hours do I spend on doing this? If I say I can't think, okay, but how many hours do you spend on that? So same applies to drawing as well.
What an amazing line. I don't have talent, I have practice.
Yeah,
I think that become like a thing we write on posters everywhere. Louise, please write it.
Yeah, so I think perhaps I'm not going to be the best in the world with my drawing, but it's good enough to be shared and it's good enough for information. So don't think about it like art. It's just functional drawing. It's communication from me. And it's the way I think. So my brain is able to process information by drawing. So it's not multitasking like listening and drawing at the same time and attending a conference and doing all the stuff like multitasking. It's more like I do it by drawing. And this is how I start my solutions as well. So I first need to sketch my solutions and just like mock up a few screens or mock up a process or see where does it lead to, and just put all my ideas that I have in my mind just into my OneNote. And after that, I start building. And I find this, it's the perfect combination of tech and arts.
I think it's amazing how you're able to take a very complex technological idea like quantum computing and then break it down into a drawing that anyone in the world can understand. And it's such a good way to visualize these complex concepts that people rattle off, right? Q sharp, QDK, blah, blah, blah. And here's the drawing that explains it all. Louise, for all of you in the audience, has a very famous fan, by the way, of her drawings and sketch notes. Satya Nadella himself, he loved the sketch notes she did of the Ignite keynote in Ignite 2019. And he retweeted her and thanked her for her work because she made the keynote so much more accessible to all of the people in the world. People who don't process things through just listening or don't process things through a bunch of technological jargon one after the other. So thank you, Louise, for doing that, because I thought it was one of the coolest ways to showcase that.
Yeah. It's my pleasure.
So speaking of Sarah, she's brought a demo that you were very excited about.
So excited, right? So you are going to be showing us some awesome stuff around not just Teams, but Power Virtual Agents and really how you can take Teams to the next level. Could you show us more and tell us all about this?
Yeah, I will. So shall I share my screen right now? Or would you like to talk to me about that first?
Oh, you can go ahead, share your screen and talk us through the whole thing.
Okay, so I will share my screen right now.
So one of the things I love about Power Virtual Automate is, that's adorable, by the way. I love how Power Virtual Automate is used for the most interesting scenarios. I think it's just the most fascinating tool on the
planet. Okay, so I think this is really a dream team. So, work from home is the new normal. And this little cat here, this is like 100% of my customers. They're always like, can I have a new team, please? And yeah, it's true, because Teams is such a cool tool and it's such a cool interface to just use Microsoft 365 even better in your context. And in my day-to-day life as a consultant, I see two extremes. On the one hand, I see super restrictive IT departments, everything is blocked, sanctioned, controlled, awkward processes, and making users' life not very, very nice. And this leads to users who will use very creative ways to get their stuff done, and a lot of shadow IT solutions. So this is bad. And on the other hand side, I see Teams over adoption. So too many Teams that should just be channels, too many channels that just should be chats, and so on. So we see over adoption. This is a boomerang as well. So what I want to do is I want to create a balance between over-restricting and over-adoption. And I want to have a lean process to provision teams to make IT lives even easier. And of course, I do want digitally literate users, just because I don't want to have a process to block anything. I want that digital literacy increases within the modern workplace. So to achieve that, I have a solution overview for you to get you started before we dig into the Power Virtual Agent itself. So the user speaks in natural language to a chatbot. And first, we need to check if the user is already in an Azure AD group called Educated Users. So to be in this Educated Users group, you need to pass a test. So you need to prove that you are educated enough. Otherwise, you are in another group called Uneducated Users. So if our user is in Educated Users, we approve his team's request by a business manager. And if this is approved, a second flow provisions the team. If this user is not educated enough, he will be invited for a training and a test. And if he or she passes the test, we go to manager's approval. And then if this is approved, we provision the team. If not, so if the user does not pass the test after he or she attended training, we end this process because with great power comes great responsibility. So no ownership for this user. So this is what I want to do.
I love this. I love the idea. Do you know the thing that I really like about this the most is you're kind of using this from a training perspective too. So you're actually kind of, you know, you're not being horrible about it. You're just saying that, hey, we don't want to give all of this power to people that don't really know how to use it. But hey, we're not going to stop you. You just need to go ahead and we want to educate you. And here's how you get educated. And then you can go ahead and do this. That's the thing that I really like about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it's about digital literacy. It's not about blocking because if we block, they would just use something else that is not blocked. And you cannot ensure anything by that. So we have a few Lego bricks that we need to put together to do that. And brick number one is we need to have an actionable bot. So the basics, I will demo that in a second, is go to powerva.microsoft.com, set up a new topic and enter some trigger phrases and outline what the bot should do in your authoring canvas. So this is really, don't have said it before, it's like using Visual. It's totally easy and everyone can do this. So I made my 10-year-old daughter do this as well.
Wow.
Yeah. She loves it. I shall greet. So tricky part is we need to create a flow from the PVA template and call this flow from the PVA. So this is a little bit more techy, but everyone will get it as well. So I always say I'm not the most technical person in the world, but if I can do this, everyone can. Okay, brick number two, the Power Virtual Agent flow with two additional flows. So you might have seen there is a lot of logic in my solution involved. So what this flow does is we need to first initialize some variables for this provisioning process. And after we did that, we need to do the part with the security groups, which needs to be in place before that. And we need to have a mini flow for sending all those invitations to the training events. Perhaps they are online, perhaps they are in person. We don't know that right now, to our users. And we need to have an additional flow to test the users and to log their results in a SharePoint list. So I know there are a lot of errors right here, but I will try to break it down so it's very easy to understand. Brick number three. Our team's provisioning flow. So as there unfortunately is no action created teams in Power Automate, which at first we need to do this by our backdoor. And backdoor here means we need to register an application in FRAD and then call Microsoft Graph to authenticate against that. So we first need to have some an app registration, and we need to have API permissions for the graph. And then there is a very, very important thing is we need to create an app secret. And this app secret, save it. So please save it because it will expire the day you want to demo it. So I tweeted it today. So this happens right now. So it will expire and then you need to create a new one. So no big deal, but if you want to demo it, we've all been there, the demo gods. So third thing is we need to get the manager of the owner-to-be of this team. And depending on the approval, we want to provision the team, which I do with calling the graph, or we just end this process if the manager says, nope, this is not a business case for a team, and notify the user. Brick number four, I promise, it's the last one. We need to add our bot as an app to Teams. So yes. It's quite easy. After we published our bot, we need to choose a channel, and the channel could be Teams. Can be a website as well, but it can be Teams as a channel, of course. And there we get an app ID. And this app ID, we need to use it in App Studio and Teams to make this an app in Teams. So the hardest part really was to describe and to name my bot, just because even if you say, hey, this is a Teams provisioning bot, you're not allowed to name it like that because Teams is a product name by Microsoft. So it took me some time to do that. So this is really the hardest part. And after that, you just download this app as a package and install it from the app catalog in Teams. And then it appears on the left-hand rail in Teams. Okay, so what are we going to do tonight? instead of taking over the whole world, I would just like to build this chatbot with you and just demo this for you, how this works. Okay.
This is awesome.
Here we go. Okay, so I'm in Teams. My name is James Bond, and I just ask for a new team. And the chatbot asks me all the questions we need to know to provision the teams, just like the name, description, owner. I even asked for the first members and for the first dedicated channel, because I found out usually we have this channel general, but it tends to be a trash bin if we don't have at least one other channel as well. So what happened here right now is, so James Bond asked for a new team, and after this is done, so after this conversation with the bot ended, I send an adaptive card to this user in Teams, because he or she needs to be already not in a team, but a Teams user at least for chat and video calls. So this needs to be done. And he gets an adaptive card and says, okay, we would like to invite you for a training, and we would like to invite you for a quiz. So please do both. And we will send a request to your manager as well. So James Bond is invited to training sessions with a little form, and he does this test right here in a form as well. And of course, only right answers, and these answers will be locked in a SharePoint list. And the SharePoint list calculates if the result is okay or if it's not okay. And then this flow from Power Virtual Agent picks up this information, just all the team name and owner name and description and stuff, and puts it into a variable. And after that, we check if James Bond is in the right security group of RAD. And if he's not in the right user group, so right now he's in uneducated users, because therefore he got this invite and this invitation to pass the test as well. And now we need to look what happens now. So he passes the test, and now I put him into the other Azure AD group. So now he proved he passes the test, and now he's educated enough. So if he requests a team the next time, he doesn't need to take the test again, because this wouldn't make any sense for me. And then I just notify the user, hey, this was nice of you, so congrats. And now we need to have a second flow.
Insidious world domination plans. I hope everyone saw
that. This is my test environment, yes. Yeah, you got me. Okay, so we are now in our second flow, and the second flow is triggered by a new item in a SharePoint list, in the list in which I registered this team request from our previous flow. So one flow kicks off the other flow. Which I find quite neat and very, very logical. So what we do is we first register an application in Azure AD. You know, this one with the secret that expires the day you want to demo it. And we make this variable here in this flow. Very, very neat. And after we did that, we do a manager's approval. So James Bond, of course, has a manager. And this manager, it's here, it's Anna. And Anna, again, gets an approval request, and she needs to approve if this is a business case from her perspective for the team. So we have both. We have on the The first approval is an IT approval, and it's just done by group membership check in Azure AD. And the second approval is a business approval, because this is, again, a Better Together story. So the business manager needs to approve as well. And if the manager approves, and this is what we do here right now, so Anna approves, what happens then is we first call the graph and create a group, and after that, update this group to a team, and then we add a channel and update our SharePoint list as well. So you can see this here, the list is created. And now we send an additional notification to our owner and say, hey, time for a happy dance. The manager approved the team and we already created it for you. And of course, we need to give the user some time to do that. So the training and the test. So for demo purposes, I said, okay, this is just 2 minutes. In real life, I would go for 5 to 10 days or working days or whatsoever. But yeah, this is my solution.
I love that. You know, one of the things that I know that like you said, you I think you did that perfectly, by the way. You actually took the something that's very complex, and you actually made it very simple, easy to understand, and you actually condensed that into a very short amount of time. You did that very well. Thank you so much. One of the things that I love specifically about that demo is I really love the like auditing stuff that you kind of built into it. So for those of you who missed it, you may have missed it, like where Louise showed the SharePoint list of all those requests. So what that does is, you know, it just gives visibility and it allows people to look at the analytics, because it gives businesses the availability to see, oh, maybe we're getting a crazy number of requests from a certain business unit or something like that, or maybe a lot of people are failing this exam or this test and maybe we need to do something as an organization. I think that kind of stuff really brings that solution together. So that's pretty awesome.
So next level for me is replacing that SharePoint list with a proper CDS, make a nice application in Power Apps and run a Power BI reports against CDS, so we get more details and more insights and more visualization, and it's easier for us to really see what's going on in our company.
You know what I'm excited about what you just said, because you are going to explain, you're going to visualize and explain CDS and Power BI in ways that other people don't, because the way you describe things are so visual and they make a lot of sense to people who may have no clue what they're doing in the space. So I'm very excited to see you do it, because I bet your Power BI visualizations will be true data storytelling. It won't be like, here's a graph, here's a graph, here's a graph.
Which cool. is pretty much my, those are mine, right?
It says things, right? And yours will be actual data storytelling, because you do so much visual storytelling. You take such hard concepts and you explain them in such a easy, simple way where anyone can understand it and they don't feel stupid, right? It's a really important part of our jobs. And I think you actually are doing it correctly, where you don't make people feel like a total moron, because they don't quite get it, but they start to get it while you explain. So
people
thank you for that.
People are so scared, aren't they, Donna, of like saying that they don't know something. You know, when someone asks something on a call, it's like, do you know X? And it's like, no one. It's like tumbleweed. No one's going to admit that. No one wants to. And I think it's just a human thing. And I think when you do approach it for the way you're approaching things, very visually, very kind of just on the same level, I just think it breaks down those barriers really well.
I think Louise does particularly good job of this, where she'll raise her hand and say, I don't know what that is. And she'll go figure it out and then go explain to a bunch of other people who don't know what that is. And I think it's a major source of, it's a way to showcase that you are powerful and confident enough in yourself and who you are to be able to say that out loud, right? And you make so many other people feel like it's totally okay to not know everything. Why would you know everything? We're learn-it-all people, not know-it-all people.
Of course, yeah. We are learners. So I call myself a professional learner just because... So I learn by explaining. So I learned so much by building the solution. So it started very small, and then I added this and that. And so it began to be just more complex. And then I told my customers about that. So this is in production.
I love that. That is in production. Look at this. So you have so many stickers you need to make today. I don't have talent. I have practice.
That's my favorite. You know that I wait, perhaps. Yeah, so I do have a slide for you. So,
oh, look at that.
This is what I'm currently doing. Yeah. So I'm doing a little bit more dev stuff just because I care about Microsoft Graph Toolkit, which makes it very easy to really do applications. And I made my first Para, which is quite awesome for me just because so I have dyscalculia, so which means I don't connect to numbers at all. So if you say there's like 100, this doesn't connect to me. I can't realize what this is. But I made an app. So an 8-year-old one can practice math. And I have a new sticker side hustle. And you can see a few of our stickers here. And it's pimp your own device.
I love that. Cool. A sticker side hustle. This is the best thing. A
sticker side hustle. Yes, it is.
I love a little Lego person.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. So you can see my new sticker right in the middle. It's the unicorn that says automagically, just because everything in Power Platform is automagically for me.
That is so cool. I love this, Louise. I'm so glad you shared this with us. So...
there we go. Notes. Our audience are really learning so much today. So, Louise, tell us all about your homework. What have you got to almost just tell people that they got to do right now, today, from all of the stuff that you've shown us?
Okay, here's the homework for you. Go on powerva.microsoft.com, register, make your first bot in less than 5 minutes, tweet about it, and tag me. You will find me on Twitter at Louise Fraser.
Nice. Look at that. That's amazing.
So parva.com, set the timer on your phone, go. Make your first chatbot 5 minutes. Pro tip, if you can turn an FAQ into a chatbot in like 1 minute, unless you're me and you forget to add the topics. But in general, you can do it in less than 5 minutes. Then tag Louise, show her what you did. Unless you can't, in which case, learn it all.
Yep. That's amazing. This is awesome. And all of Louise's details will be in the show notes. So you have no excuse not to tag her on Twitter.
Exactly.
No excuses.
Okay. So we can easily talk about this for like 95 more minutes, but we're of course out of time. So thank you so much for being here with us, Louise. This was an enlightening conversation. I learned a ton of stuff. I've never thought about combining PVA plus Automate plus Teams in one to specifically tell people what to do and train them up. This is an amazing user case study. Thank you so much to Louise for being here.
And it was my pleasure.
Awesome. Till next time, I'm the Fox.
I'm the Cat.
Less code, more power. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.